Today is the last message in the series of on the 40 Days of Community. So we're going to be looking at this topic of living a generous life. Living a generous life. Say that with me. Living a generous life. And we'll be looking at a number of passages in 2 Corinthians in a moment, and also in Acts chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 4. We'll be looking at the last portion of that passage. So for the past 6 weeks, we've been looking at this topic of building community, building fellowship, deeper fellowship within our church. And we've seen that happen in some degrees, and we're excited about that. All of this fits into this emphasis of from friendly to family. And we're going to continue that emphasis for another couple of months. There's some things that we're going to be working towards as a church to, again, to enhance the friendly to family. Because we know that when there's community within the church, when people are truly loving others, then that naturally is going to spill out into the community as well. So we want the community experience happening here then to be expressing itself out in the community around us. And when we use that word community, we're actually, when we said we want to build community here, we want to become not just a friendly church, but a family church. Well, that idea all comes from the word koinonia. Now, many of you study the Bible and you know about this word koinonia. And koinonia is the word that we get fellowship from. And fellowship means a building of relationships, a deeper relationship with each other. But here's the interesting thing about the word koinonia. It is a multifaceted word. In other words, it has different meanings depending upon the context. It means more than just fellowship. It also means contribution. It means at times generosity, giving of yourself. So in fellowship, we're giving ourselves to other people. But there's also a financial aspect of fellowship where we're literally giving money to assist, to help. And so as we consider that today, I want you to consider sometimes how this word fellowship is used, the word koinonia. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, Paul says, you became my partners in giving, my partners. We fellowship. This is the word koinonia that's in here in this text. Partners in giving is the Greek, it comes from the Greek word koinonia. Again, this idea of fellowship. And then you have Hebrews 13:16, which says, keep doing good and sharing your resources. Again, that word sharing your resources was wrapped around the idea of koinonia. So koinonia, we're giving of our time to build relationships, we're giving of our energy to help people, and we're giving of our money. So this word koinonia, it's again a very multifaceted word. And then finally, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 says, be generous and willing to share. Again, that kind of idea of willing to share comes from this idea of koinonia or fellowship. So you cannot have community without generosity. In other words, fellowship, part of fellowship is generosity. Carl Menninger, the famous psychiatrist, said this. This is a great quote. He said, generosity is one of the essential components of mental health. We have found that generous people are rarely mentally ill. We have found that generous people are rarely mentally ill. This whole thing, when I'm giving, it's good for me. It's good for my mental health. There are wonderful and incredible benefits of giving. And I want to just talk about just a few of them today. And the first one is this, is that generosity creates community. If you can read that on the screen, the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, would you read it with me? Paul says, your generosity not only provides for the needs of God's people, but also produces prayers of thanksgiving to God. That is, the people are thanking God because they gave. And this is in the context, Paul's asking the people to give to the church of Jerusalem because they're in a really bad place. He said, would you help out the church of Jerusalem? He says, so, but when you give, they're going to thank God for you. And your generosity, in a sense, is building relationships, is building fellowship. Look, we saw this just a few weeks back here, 200 Willow Drive, with the evacuee shelter. And here we are, we were giving, and 75 people were blessed by that. And many of those people, what did they do? They thanked God for us. And they told some of you that helped out in that shelter that we're actually here, thank you. Thank you for giving us this building and giving us space that we could sleep in. They thanked God for you. And then what was the other side of that thing that happened? Is it built deeper relationships in the church. So as we gave, they thanked God for us, and it built deeper community within the church body. You see how all this worked? Because we gave. We gave not only of our time, but we gave of our facilities, we gave of our energy, we gave of our money to help these people out. And so this is how, again, that's a dimension of fellowship, is this whole thing of generosity. We also saw it with, helping people recover. Many of you helped your neighbors, and you helped people that in your in the community here kind of do the mud outs and get the houses all kind of the sheetrock torn down. And as we did that, as groups of us went out and did this, how did the homeowners respond? Thank you. Thank you. Can I write you out a check? I had some guy ask me, I want to give you some money back. I said, sir, there's no way you can pay us back for all this. This is going to cost you way too much, okay? Don't even think about it. He said, well, I know, but I want to do something. And I said, okay, well, that's good. So, but at first he thought he could pay us all off for doing this work. But he was thankful, very, very thankful. And what happened to those of you who were out there on those projects? What happened to you? It built community with that group you were with, especially if you were with them over several days, over a week or several weekends, that kind of thing. And it built goodwill among the churches, as we did this with the Brazoria County Recovers Together group. It built fellowship between our church and the other churches that we're helping, that we're not competitors, that we're working in this thing together. So our generosity caused the people, the homeowners, to say, thank God for you. Thank you, God, for bringing these people. And then it also built fellowship among the churches and among those working together. So this is how it all works together. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Your heart will be wherever your treasure is. I want to kind of rephrase it and put it this way. Your heart will be wherever your money is. Right? So where is your money? So your heart's where your money is. You know where my heart is many times? It's with my kids, because that's where my money is, all right? It's not, I'm not paying them off or anything like that, but I'm very interested in their well-being because my money's invested in them, right? My heart's here at Willow because we give here, right? I'm interested in as a church, as a couple, Stephanie and I, we give to a ministry called Global's Mission Awareness. Above our tithe, it was a ministry we sow into, Global Mission Awareness with Leif and Jen Hetland. And I'm telling you, my heart's with them. My heart is with them. And so we give to them, and I pray for them, and I pray for them on a weekly basis and get updates from them. And I'm there. And I feel like I'm a partner. And we are financial partners with him, but I feel like I'm a part of their ministry. We have, and though we don't know each other, I mean, I've talked to him just a bit in the past, but I feel like there's this bond that I have because that's where my heart is. And your heart is where your money is. Wherever you put your time and money, that's where your heart is. So for some people, hey, their heart is in their home, right? And probably for all of us, there's a degree of that. That's fine. God wants us to enjoy the things that we have in this life. He just doesn't want us to be driven by them. Maybe it's a hobby, I don't know, whatever it is, a boat, a car, whatever, you can just fill in the blank for each person here. But that's where our heart is. Our heart is where our money is. So anytime I am generous with a person, my heart's there. Anytime I give to a person, my heart's there. Anytime I'm generous to the poor, anytime I'm generous, even here at Willow, my heart is here. Because my finances are here. The things that God's blessed me with. The first Christians were so famous for their generosity. I mean, again, and this generosity developed their community. So if you had your Bibles and you look at Acts chapter 4, the end of that chapter. Acts chapter 4. Verse 32, it says, all the believers were united in heart. Say that with me, united in heart. They were united in heart and mind. and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. And so, I mean, you can read into this, and of course in Acts chapter 2 and a little bit in Acts chapter 5, you can see the deep fellowship that they had with each other. They weren't just giving. They weren't just like giving. It was giving out of their heart, out of the overflow of their heart. And it was building this wedding. It was wedding this deep relationship that they had with each other. They were a family. They were a family. Say that with me. They were a family. And that's what families do, right? Is that we give our time, we give our attention, and we give our money. Because where our heart is, that's where money is. And so they gave, and they gave freely. Now look, here's the deal. There's a difference between communism and what we call Christianity right here. And this is a kind of a simplistic way of putting it, but this is not communism. Communism says this, and again, simplistic, I know. Communism says this: what you have is mine, and I'll take it. But Christianity says, what I have is yours, and I'll give it. Right? What I have is yours, and I'll give it. And that's what they were doing here. It was building these deep bonds of friendship. Listen, the first Christians were famous for their generosity, and that generosity led to thanksgiving to God, and it built deep relationships. And folks, we need to be generous people, amen? And in part, it's so that we can have deeper community. Look, God loves it. Let me say this. We love it when we see our kids giving. Do you remember when you were raising children, and they were, I don't know, however old they were, 5, 6, 7, and actually even before that, what was the one thing you were teaching, one of the one primary things you were teaching them to do as a 2-year-old? You need to share. And so when they shared, what did we do? Way to go. That's so good. I just love that. I just love seeing you share. When we don't even ask them to. And so as they got older and they continued to share, it was one of those things that really built our faith or built encouraged us. I mean, none of us were ever proud of our stingy kids, right? Oh, look, you're just so stingy. Isn't that sweet? You just keep that toy. You don't share that with your brother or sister. No, we don't. No, nobody ever did that. But it's the same way with God. When God sees his kids giving, what does he say? Oh, man, look, you're reflecting my heart, because God is a giving God. Amen? And he is proud when we give. It reflects who he is. There's my boy. There's my daughter. So there are two reasons. One of the things that I like when we raise funds is we've gone, since I've been here, 4 fundraising campaigns, 3 that have to do with the building, 1 to pay off the original debt when I came. One of the reasons I love those things is this. It builds community. We're all on the same page. We're all working towards the same common goal. And it builds a synergy within the church. And as I say, generosity, when we're generous, it enhances community within our relationship. So that's one reason that we give. Another reason that what generosity does is that it defeats materialism. I mean, who wants to be like that guy right there, right? You know? Have a small heart. Remember the Grinch who stole Christmas? Just a small heart. It's all of everything. I just want everything. I'm just going to take everything. We don't want to be like that Grinch. We want to be like when the Grinch has the transformation, when his heart grows large, you know? When he begins to understand things. Generosity defeats this materialism, because in materialism, you're just trying to hoard. You're trying to take back for yourself more and more. Here's the thing about with materialism is that you think the more that I have, then I'll be more generous. If I can just get established in this kind of area in my life, if I can have more of this, then I'll be more generous. But it's always the opposite. It's the lie that says, once I have more than enough, or once I have enough, then I'll give. And it's never that way, right? Because you never have enough. By the way, Orange County, there in Southern California, okay? The 4th richest county in America. fourth richest county in America, and yet one of the stingiest counties in America. The average person or household in Orange County gives 0.4% away. It's the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest counties, and yet it's one of the stingiest counties. In fact, less than 70% of the people living in America's fourth wealthiest county, 70% gave less than $500 to charity in, I'm not sure what year it was. Isn't that amazing? Less than $500. There's only one antidote. There's only one antidote to materialism, and it's generosity. Because every time I'm generous, it's a spiritual victory. Every time you're generous, your heart, like the Grinch, your heart grows. It doesn't shrink. Materialism is a great, let me tell you what it is. It is a great inhibitor, as we talked about community, it is a great inhibitor of community. God wants us to enjoy all his good gifts, but he does not want us to be driven by these gifts, because when we get driven by these gifts, it inhibits what he wants to do in our life. It limits. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:24 this. It says, you cannot serve both God and money. Say that with me. You cannot serve both God and money. Notice it didn't say you should not serve. It says what? You cannot serve both God and money. It's impossible. And if you want to defeat materialism, then become a generous person. Amen? Amen. And the last thing I want to point out is this, is that generosity strengthens our faith. Read that scripture on the screen with me. Your giving proves the reality of your faith. You say you're a believer. You say you love God. Well, what do you do with the pocketbook? What do you do with the bank account? Anybody can talk. You know the old song, you honk if you love Jesus, right? You've seen those old stickers from years ago. One guy wrote, he said, don't honk if you love Jesus, honk if you tithe, right? Be far less honking, that's for sure. Because anybody can honk and say, I love Jesus, but let your love be seen by what you give. God is a generous God. And we need to remember that everything I have in this life has come from him, right? Everything. You wouldn't be here without him. He gave you a body. He gave you a mind. He gave you ability. He gave you all that you have in that sense. Now, he wants you to develop it. He gave you the raw resources and said, okay, here's your life. Now, you develop it. But without him, we would have nothing. And so, in our generosity, here's the thing. We sooner or later, we have to decide, are the promises of God true? Is the principle of 2 Corinthians 9, which is, and I'm not sure if I have this passage, 2 Corinthians 9 says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously. Do I believe that promise or do I not believe that promise? Do I believe the promise that if I sow generously, God will make sure that I reap generously? You know this principle because, listen, it's true in every part of life. God has stamped this principle in nature, that if you sow, you will reap. When you plant a pecan seed, that seed produces what? It produces a pecan tree, right? And how many pecans does that tree produce? Millions? I don't know. I don't know what a pecan tree. But see, that one seed produces so much more. And God wants this principle. It is stamped on everything in nature that whatever you sow, you get more than whatever you sowed. And so it's important to us today to understand that you always get back more than you give. And so if you give a little bit or if you give a lot of criticism, guess what you get back in return, right? If you give a lot of love, guess what you get back in return? If you give compassion, you get a lot of compassion in return. If you give judgment, you get judgment in return. It is a spiritual principle. It's stamped in nature. It's stamped in relationships. So whatever you give out, you're going to get back to a greater degree. And so in this, God wants us to learn to be generous. If you'll be generous, he says, I will give back to you. The reason he asked me to do this is because, listen, it's the exact opposite of my human nature. What does my human nature want to do? What does it want to do? Hold. I just want to hold on to it. But here's the deal. If you hold on to it, what are you? Say that. You're a miser, right? I want to hold on to it. I just want to accumulate. But what is miser one step away from? Miserable, right? How many happy misers do you know? I mean, really? Right? Not many happy misers. But you will find a lot more people who are happy, who are generous people, who give in abundance. Bob, this is a great quote right here. When it comes to giving, a lot of Christians act more like atheists than they do believers. When it comes to giving, many Christians act more like atheists than a true believer, right? Because they just don't know that they can trust God. Friend, he is the source of all. He says, I want you to learn this principle of giving, because it will strengthen your faith. Bob McEwen was telling a story about his son. He took his son one day. They were driving around. His son said he was hungry. So he said, okay, well, where do you want to stop? His son said, let's go to McDonald's. So, and I don't know, his son was 10, 11 years old. So Bob drives through the drive-thru at McDonald's and gets his son supersized fries. I mean, who can't resist McDonald's french fries, right? So he purchased them, gave them to his son. They drove off. As they're driving off, Bob kind of reaches over and takes a fry and starts to eat it. And his son said, Dad, those are my fries. Don't take my fries. Instantly, three things came to Bob's mind. Number one was this. Bob said, what does he mean, my fries? Those are my fries. I'm the great fry giver. I drove him to McDonald's. I paid with my money. I took those fries, and I gave those fries to him. I'm the source of all fries, okay? That's the first thing he thought. The second thing he thought was this. If I want it, I can take it. You're not going to stop me, little kid. I can take that from you. I've got more power than you. And then the third thing that struck him was this, and this is good. He said, you know what? I realized I didn't need the fries. I just wanted him to learn about how to give and give unselfishly. And so from that, Bob had this kind of revelation. The three lessons is this, is that God wants us to remember that he's the source of everything. Amen? Amen? Amen. He is the source of everything. You would not have anything without him. The second thing is this. He can take it away anytime he wants to. He's got all power. Amen? And number three is this. He doesn't need my fries. He doesn't need my fries. He doesn't need my money. He owns it all. But he wants me to learn how to be like him, which is to be generous. Amen? Amen. And so from this passage, 2 Corinthians, this is what happens when I start becoming a more generous person. Let's read together. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God wants us to learn that principle. You be generous, and I will take care of your needs. I will be generous back to you. I was talking with, I shared this in the second service a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think I shared it in the first service, about Jamie and Sherry Lewis. They kind of sit back there in the back where Donnie and Cindy are. And anyway, they've been flooded now the second time, all right? So within whatever, 14 months, they've been flooded twice. And somebody gave them some money. And instantly when they got that money, Sherry thought, you know, I'm going to sow this money into somebody else's life. And I'm going to ask God to give us more because we need more. So she took that money, which they needed, and she sowed it into another person's life who needed the money. I think she said within 24 hours, shortly thereafter, all of a sudden she received nine times over that amount that she gave. over that amount that she gave, just 9 times. Some of it, about half of it, came in services that they needed with the daughter's wedding. The person said, I'm going to cut the cost by $500 or something like that, and the rest was in cash. She learned, okay, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give this away, and I'm going to expect God to return. And you will have plenty left over to share with others. You will have plenty left over. I was talking, Tricia Huffman, who comes to our second service as well, she shared this testimony just about tithing with me a number of months ago, and I just felt like today would be a good day to share it. Okay, here's the cold front, y'all. Here it is, right here. Coming in. Good. Here's what she writes. Tithing 10% of my paycheck is something I've done for years. However, several years back, I began to question whether my tithe should be calculated on my check amount, that is the net amount, or my gross pay, that is before taxes. When the Finish the Race campaign, for those that are new, that was the campaign that completed out the second floor. When the Finish the Race campaign was announced, I felt led to pledge the difference between a tithe calculated on my net pay and a gross pay, and my gross pay, so that difference she was giving to the Finish the Race campaign. As we got closer to the end of the campaign, I began to feel a push to be in tithing on my gross pay. After all, I'd been giving at this level and was able to meet my financial commitments, so I decided at the end of the Finish the Race, I would just continue to write the check for that same amount. So now she's tithing on her gross pay. About this time, Eric retired from law enforcement and started a new career, one that most likely would not offer benefits, insurance benefits. So I added Grace, their daughter, and Eric to my insurance and braced for my biweekly check to be reduced by more than $400. So this was a significant amount of money that she was going to be losing. At this point, I was seriously reconsidering tithing on my gross, but she continued doing that. So on Thursday before payday, I went ahead and wrote out my check for the tithe based on my gross pay. My thinking was it would be less painful if I didn't know the full implications of the insurance premium being taken out of my check. As a salary employed, my check amount was fixed. During the annual evaluations, I could get a merit increase, but the evaluation dates had passed and my evaluation had not come. So on payday, I stuck my direct deposit voucher in my purse, and I didn't open it, so she did not know what her pay was. On Sunday, I put my tithe check into the offering. Then Sunday afternoon, as I was getting ready for the week, I opened my pay stub to file it, and as I looked at that pay stub, the net pay was not even $1 less than it had been. I looked at the detail to make sure that the insurance had come out correctly. She's like, did it even come out? And the insurance of $400 had come out, but I had also been given an increase that was totally unexpected. So the increase offset that insurance and her tithing. God is more than good all the time. Amen and amen to that. Let me tell you, a reason that I like fundraising campaigns, one reason is because it does build community. The other reason is this: it puts us out on a limb. And we begin to see God move in ways we'd never expected him to move. People who have not been actively giving begin to learn that they can trust God. And here's the thing, folks. I'm going to say this. We don't practice fundraising. We practice faith raising. All right? Faith raising. And that's what giving does. It raises our faith. So here's the challenge to you today as we wrap up the message. Here's the challenge, all right? The challenge is I want you to take out a giving envelope in front of you right now. All right? And I want you to write out the largest check you possibly can and put it in the... No, I'm teasing, okay? If you want to do that, that'd be fine. But no, go ahead and just take out a giving envelope that's in front of you. Now, here's my challenge to you. This is what I'd like for you to do. Of course, you can do this as a couple. You can do this as individuals. I want to push you on this giving thing. Not because, you know, that's what pastors do. It's because of faith development. You've got to get this one down. Do I want to be a generous person? Am I going to live a generous life? A generous life. And that generosity, I'm telling you, builds community. That generosity leads to thanksgiving to God. And so here's the challenge. On that envelope, you can put your name. You either put your name or put your initials. I don't care. And there are three ways that I want to challenge you. Number one is this. If you're here today and you say, with giving, I'm going to challenge you, for those of you who tithe, that you will continue tithing and or also sowing. That's the first one. So you're going to say, Pastor Scott, like, you know, if it's Carol, Carol's saying, I'm going to begin or I'm going to continue tithing and or sowing. That is, it's something you do and it's something you're going to continue to do. That's category one. Category two, maybe somebody here today, you'd say, you know what, I'm not tithing. Or maybe I'm not sowing. That is giving above the tithe for very specific things. But I want to start sowing. And by the way, the book to read on sowing is a book by Gary Kesey called Financial Revolution. Gary Kesey, K-E-E-S-E-E, I believe is how you spell his name. So I will continue. That's A. B is, you know what, I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start tithing and or sowing. All right, that's B or two. And three is this, I'm going to work towards tithing and or sowing. So you got three categories here. Either one, I'm going to continue it, I'm going to start it, or I'm going to work towards it. Now, why is this important? I want to tell you, God is pushing you on this thing. He's pushing you to make a commitment. Because you're never going to get anywhere in your faith development without commitment and without being kind of pushed on things. And so if you would right now, you can put your name, put your initials, whatever, your family's name, if you're doing this as a family. A, I'm going to continue this. B, I'm going to start it. Or C, I'm going to work towards it. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to fill that out, and then in that box as you're leaving. In fact, let me just do this. David, if you would, David Savage, and Art Ramirez, if you would, y'all just be in the back, just with the ushers or with the offering plates. I want you to put that in the offering plate, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. It's just like coming down to the altar and receiving prayer. I'm going to pray for you that God will bless you, especially you that are going to begin tithing or begin sowing, or you're going to work towards it. Now, as you say work towards it, that's your decision as to how long that's going to take you. But it's steps. The baby doesn't start running on day one, right? Doesn't come out of the womb, start running. The baby crawls, or the baby just lays around for a period of time. The baby crawls, the baby begins to get up, the baby starts walking, and then the baby starts running. And so it is with some of you. Just, I'm going to work towards that. And that's okay. That's all right. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. I want to stand as your partner in faith to see this element grown in your life, this element of generosity. Amen. Let's pray together. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. Some are being challenged and maybe even feeling just a little bit of pressure. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that pressure is absolutely 100% from you. Anything from me, let it fall to the ground. But, Lord, let everything that you want them to experience, or let them experience everything that is your will when it comes to giving. And Lord, I pray that they will learn this principle. They will learn this principle that whatever they sow, you're going to bless. Father, you have said that in your word, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that you will generously provide all that we need, then we will always have everything we need and plenty left over to share with others. Let that principle become a reality within their life. Give them grace, give them courage to stand up today to make that commitment. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. If you need prayer, I'll be down front and love to pray with you. And so today, receive this. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today. Amen. Amen. Amen.